Today on Exposed, the Kalo podcast, the New York appeals court slashes Trump's bond amount from $464 million to $175 million. Plus, Governor of Maryland just declared a state of emergency after a cargo ship took down 1.5 miles of the Key Bridge. Here's a brief video. And an internal document from IBM outlines the left's 10 commandments. Here's the greatest commandment. Only white people are racist. And the second commandment is just like it, that the black community owes us nothing in this work. Finally, the insufferable Kamala Harris. That's right. She was caught mindlessly clapping like a seal to a protest song against her. Amazing. All this and more today on Exposed, the Kalo podcast. A terrorist attack in Moscow leaves 130 people dead, and Putin is blaming Ukraine. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, according to the Daily Wire, Donald Trump secured a victory in the New York appeals court on Monday, as the court will now allow the former president to post a significantly lower bond in his civil business fraud judgment. Instead of posting $464 million, the appeals court ruled that he must now guarantee $175 million. This is a huge victory, in my opinion, for Donald Trump. Two things. It gets Letitia James off of her high horse for a moment, trying to seize all of Donald's property. But secondly, it shows that there is some truth in the court systems for now. We're going to have you look at this short little video. Here it is.
Thank you very much. Judge Ed Gorin has done a terrible disservice to the state of New York. What he's done is terrible. Businesses are fleeing. You see that? We just released a statement on truth. Businesses are fleeing and crime is flourishing all over the state. And what he's done is such a disservice and should never be allowed to happen again. New York State is being battered by his decision. So I greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and I'll post either $175 million in cash or bonds or security or whatever is necessary very quickly within the 10 days. And I thank the appellate division for acting quickly. Yeah. But Judge Engoron is a disgrace to this country, and this should not be allowed to happen. Thank you very much.
Don't you love it? And of course, the reporter in the end there asked him, how are you going to post the bond? How are you going to post the bond? And just before he walked out the door, he turned around and said, cash, cash, baby. I love it. You know, he already posted a bond for $80 million regarding the E. Jean Carroll case. And the one that helped him with that was Chubb. And Chubb is among the world's largest publicly traded property and casualty insurers in the nation. In the United States alone, Chubb handles about 80% of all of these type of casualty and bond sureties. Anyhow, the people behind Chubb, because it's a publicly traded company, the people behind Chubb, people like you and I who may own stock, they started complaining. Of course, these are, you know, far leftists. They got nothing else better to do. They started complaining, writing letters and, you know, having little protest signs or whatever because Chubb, you know, was the one to put up the bond. But here's the thing. They did it because they were making money. They didn't do it to help President Trump, although, you know, naturally they've worked with him in the past and, you know, they know he's a good client and that they're going to make money. But here's the key. Chubb has gotten a lot of pressure, and so are other corporations and companies that have been trying to help him in this particular case. And now he's got $175 million. He won't have a problem with that because I know he has the cash. But let's look at this next short little video clip about Chubb. Here it is.
Been under attack for providing an appeal bond to Donald Trump in the E. Jean Carroll defamation suit. CNBC has obtained a letter sent by Chubb CEO Evan Greenberg that's going out today to concerned investors about the surety that the insurer issued to Trump. Greenberg says in this letter that the appeal bond provides Carroll with the certainty of getting paid if the appeals court sides with her in Donald Trump's appeal of the verdict. Chubb would also pay if Trump failed to pay her. Chubb would then be made whole, it says, by collateral put up for bond. Now, Greenberg says this case is polarizing and emotional, but that the insurer felt it was the right thing to do. Look, there has been a lot of public backlash against Chubb, some calling into question Chubb's ties to Russia. The company today emphasized to me that the insurer ended its business there when Ukraine was invaded. Some criticism has come in questioning Greenberg's seat on a Trump advisory panel on trade. But by the way, he also served under the Biden administration until March of last year. But it is highly unusual for the CEO of a company of this size to send out a letter to investors, sort of addressing the political and polarizing nature of these concerns, Scott.
Of course, it's polarizing. And it is political because, though, let's face it, Trump is dominating the news cycle nearly every single day. But this is like everything else that the left has done and will continue to do, which is help Donald Trump win the 2024 election. The deep state has got to learn a lesson somewhere along the line that none of what they're trying to do is going to dissuade his base. And I think many people are awakening to the fact that this is definitely a witch hunt and people are out to get Trump into government. And I think many of Americans are looking at this and beginning to say, you know, this is just not fair. It just isn't fair. Breaking right now. Mass casualty has been declared after a large container ship collides with the Key Bridge in Maryland, causing it to completely collapse. Now, this is huge. And according to the Epoch Times, here's what we now know. A cargo ship hit the iconic Francis Scott Key Bridge, named after the man behind America's national anthem, and caused it to collapse in the wee hours of March 26th. At least seven vehicles cascaded into the water. Around 20 people were thrown into the river. The ship called the Dali, D-A-L-I, left the Seagirt Marine Terminal at approximately 12:20 a.m. on Tuesday, and its destination was Sri Lanka. The White House is aware of the bridge collapse, like Biden's going to do anything about it. Probably nothing at all. But there was a prior incident of this vessel hitting this particular bridge. It's not the first time that this Dali, owned by Grace Ocean Investment Company, has had an incident at the Scott Key Bridge. In 2016, the container ship, now 9 years old, hit a wall at the port of Antwerp in Belgium as well. And it was doing mooring maneuvers for leaving the port in good weather. So, you know, this ship has had some issues in the past. We don't know what it's all about yet. We're hoping and praying that all the people get recovered safely and that no one loses their life. There was some information put out, and here it was, that the lights on the container ship that rammed the bridge, causing it to collapse, the lights on the container ship had gone out approximately a minute or so before the vessel made contact with the bridge, pretty much giving people the idea that there was a power issue on the ship itself. Baltimore mayor has made an announcement to the news outlets to stop showing the video clip of the bridge collapse. Now, why would he want to do that? I don't know. But we have that clip, and we're going to show it to you in a second. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott called CNN and said that the media should stop showing the collapse of the bridge. I mean, hey, let's face it. This is great news, and it's something that people should be aware of, just how this thing collapsed, because in a matter of split seconds, the entire section of a 1.6-mile bridge has completely collapsed. Unbelievable. Anyhow, speaking of collapsing, woke ideology, I believe, is soon going to come crashing down on them. We were able to get a copy of an internal document from IBM, and it was actually from one of their subsidiaries called Red Hat, and it was obtained by James O'Keefe. He's the creator of OMG Media, and this document is titled Allyship Commandments. And this shows 10 race-based rules or commandments, if you will, that employees at Red Hat had to observe. Here's a picture of that commandment sheet, allyship commandments. I'm not going to go through all 10 of these, but listen, this is just totally unbelievable. Number 4, accepts that white people are responsible for dismantling racism. It's amazing how we get blamed for everything. Number 5, understands that only white people are racist. Now, there it is. We finally got the truth. Only white people can be racist. That's absolute nonsense. There's no person I know that will agree with that statement. Some of my black friends look at that statement and go, that's absolutely ridiculous. Let's see, what's another one here? Oh, yeah, here it is. Your allyship is never rooted in white saviorism. So whites are saviors. We're saviors of the world. We're saviors of the black race. We're saviors of everyone. And you know what that comes from? I'll tell you, here's how it happened. Many years ago, back in the late 80s and early 90s, there was a movement afoot that was saying that the United States should not be the savior to the world. But on the heels of America actually helping nations that were being, attacked from within, their own country leaders were taking out their frustrations, their angers on their own people. Our nation has always been the type of nation that would come to the rescue of people around the world when dictators arose to try to, take out their own people, secure their own financial futures. People like Idi Amin, who was, killing people and eating them. It was the United States that went to the rescue of people. And so back then, the late 80s, early 90s, this whole saviorism idea kind of reared its ugly head. And here it is again today, trying to make us feel as if we should be guilty for doing something good to the rest of the world. Let me tell you something. If it weren't for America, many more countries would be enslaved by dictators, by their own rulers. And it's up to the United States to continue to be, if you will, not the savior of the world, but we should continue to be the knight in shining armor that comes to the rescue of countries that are in trouble. So I think that the problem comes down to this. The left is so rooted in the woke ideology that many times they don't even see it themselves. They're caught up in it, and they don't even see how ridiculous they look. And speaking about being the butt of a joke, Kamala Harris, that's right, our famous vice president, she was seen clapping along to a protest song before realizing that the song was actually about her. Let's watch this video clip. Here she goes. Yeah. Now, her interpreter begins to tell her that, here's what they're actually saying. And you notice Kamala stops clapping and then slowly her hands drop to her side. And she keeps shaking her head along with the music like, oh, yeah, yeah, I like what you're doing. Keep smiling with that stupid little smirk like, oh, God, I've been caught like an idiot again. I don't know who the other guy is there, but he looks like a Puerto Rican national, so beautiful. And notice she's not even paying attention to the singers anymore. So the vice president visited Puerto Rico recently to highlight the Biden administration's actions in supporting the island's recovery. What has Biden done to help the recovery of Puerto Rico? They haven't done a darn thing. That's what they've done. This was nothing but a vacation for Kamala. So anyhow, here's what they were singing. We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? We want to know what you think of our colony. See, they know that Kamala was basically there on vacation. At least, that's what we can determine based on her prior activities, anywhere she's been in the world, she goes to go on vacation and does a little talking and, in this case, a little singing along with the song against herself. But her cheerful mood came to an end once she realized that they were actually questioning why she's there. And, of course, she doesn't have any answers. I mean, all she has is the same old answer, you know. Yeah. See, the America we know is in serious trouble, folks, because we have people like this running our country. And if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves on a road to destruction. Speaking about destruction, the recent terrorist attack in Moscow, horrific, horrific attack. We got a video we'd like to show you. Here it is.
Shocking video released by the Islamic State-affiliated Amaq News Agency shows ISIS-K terrorists firing their guns through Crocus City Hall in Moscow as bodies surrounding them fall to the ground. The voices of the men are distorted and their faces are blurred. Another man is seen repeatedly slashing the neck of a victim.
Wow, that's brutal.
The deadly attack left 137 people dead and over 100 people wounded, still fighting for their lives. In the video, camouflaged gunmen opening fire as people begin screaming and ducking behind seats as gunshots echoed. Wow. In the end, flames engulfed City Hall as the building collapsed.
That, I'm sorry we had to show that. Very powerful video, though, describing just how sick people can be. That they just—they didn't care about people's lives. They don't care about people at all. They have no no heart. There's nothing there. We actually have seen another video that I just—I don't feel comfortable showing you. But security forces actually cutting off the ear of one of the suspects and trying to feed it to him. I mean, I know that sounds brutal, but. One of the other suspects, the video also shows that he was getting shocked in the groin. A third clip shows the security forces beating another guy who was also accused of being one of the shooters here, beating him with rifle butts and kicking him as he lies in the snow. Now, granted, this is brutal and evil, but listen, in my opinion, evil deserves nothing less. These guys are far from human. And I guarantee that in the United States, if we were to treat people caught doing mass shootings and other things, if we were to treat them similarly, I think the numbers would drop considerably. But more importantly, regarding this story, I'm more concerned about who actually hired this scum to perform this terrorist act. Who would do such a thing? Now, Putin is suggesting... And there may be some evidence out there, and I'm not sure, but Putin is suggesting that Ukraine is behind it all. And I, for one, well, it's a possibility. Let's watch this next video clip.
Russian President Vladimir Putin suggesting that Ukraine was linked to the attack. That's something that leaders in Kyiv and the administration also deny.
Of course.
Vice President Kamala Harris also pushing back against the Russian president's comments.
No, there is no whatsoever any evidence. And in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
So I got to be honest with you folks. You know, it's something about watching her mouth move just tells me she's lying. Because it seems like every time she speaks, there's no truth coming out. It's always a lie. So here she is saying that, no, it's not possible. Kyiv had nothing to do with it. Ukraine had nothing to do with it. I have trouble believing that. I really do. And speaking of lies, COVID boosters are being pushed once again. That's right. Could this be all about control, controlling us before the 24 election? I don't know. But let's look at this video clip. Here it is.
For all the talk about COVID boosters, relatively few people have received the full dose. Dr. Malcolm Marshall's here now. The state is out with new numbers, doctor, and fewer than 900,000 people in Massachusetts have had their second booster.
I know, and we really need to get that number up because an analysis by the Commonwealth Fund has found that if 80% of those eligible to receive a booster got it, we could prevent about 90,000 deaths and almost a million hospitalizations in this country over the next 6 months. We could also save $56 billion in medical costs. However, if people continue to resist getting boosters at the current rate, we really could experience back to 1,200 deaths a day in March.
If you don't get vaccinated, we can experience up to 1,200 deaths a day. It's all fear-mongering, because let's face it, it's nothing else except about money. That's all it is. The entire thing. Now, COVID is real. I'm not saying COVID isn't real, but COVID is nothing more than another virus. We've been dealing with viruses our entire life, my entire life. We've been dealing with them. This is what happens. This is outrageous. I think that the war against Americans has been turned up, if you will, because we're in the midst of an election cycle. And anything is possible. I don't put anything past them. Because, you see, when it really comes down to, like I said, is dollars, money in the hands of doctors, money in the hands of the pharmaceutical companies. So, since it's not about anything else but money, why don't we look at some other issues that are on the table? For instance, the drug war. It was never about a war against drugs, because if it was about a war against drugs, well, we would see drugs being reduced in the United States. But we don't see it. And it's sad, because I think we've actually lost that war, if there was ever a war on drugs. Because here's what's happening. Right now, China is sending fentanyl laced with xylazine to Mexico, and then the cartels are putting the drugs on the persons wrapped up, you know, whatever, they tape it to their bodies, because when they get to the United States, they're not searched, because, you know, we can't search people. I mean, these are immigrants. They're fleeing oppression. They're coming to the United States. We have to protect them. We can't, you know, treat them with disrespect. So the cartel knows they can wrap people up. They're filled with pills and fentanyl laced with this xylazine, which makes people like zombies. And they get them in the United States. The cartels work together with the CIA. That's right, with the CIA, in order to bring the drugs over to the United States border. And the illegals get into the border. And here's why. Because before they got to Mexico, they stopped in Panama or another, you know, Central American country. And they stopped at one of our check-in stations. And there they checked in using their name or whatever name they felt using that day, because there's no way of verifying it. And they were entered into the United States database. So then the cartels get them, wrap them in drugs, bring them over through the border. And then when they get on the other side of the border, they give their name, whatever name they used, and they're led into the country and let go. They're picked up by the cartels. Once again, the cartels get their drugs. And these people are nothing more than beasts of burden, if you will. They're carrying drugs over, bring them into the United States. This is the result of what's happening. Let's look at this video. Animal sedatives. Okay? Used to stop pain in animals, they're using it on people. Now, this is just pictures of Philadelphia right now, which is one of the worst areas being hit by this, because Philadelphia has a huge number of immigrants. Xylazine called Trank, often mixed with fentanyl.
So xylazine is an animal-grade tranquilizer that is commonly used to adulterate the heroin and fentanyl supply. So unfortunately, we are seeing the long-term use of xylazine is causing large open ulcers on our friends, and that's leading to wound becoming necrotic, which means dead tissue. And eventually amputation. And it was originally put in there to give the supply legs to make that euphoric feeling last longer. It causes high sedation.
Now, this woman that you were hearing narrate this part of the film, she's what I call a do-gooder. Yeah, she's a do-gooder. a lot of do-gooders out there. And there's nothing wrong with doing good. In fact, we should do good to our neighbors, to our friends, whatever. But if you noticed, you know, these are our friends, she says. And what are they doing? They're patching them up, doing the best they can medically, giving them drugs and with good needles and, you know, drugs that are not laced to keep these people hooked on drugs. This is the way the United States is working now. We're not working to defeat the war. Or there's no war on drugs. We're not looking to defeat drugs. We're not looking to stop people from using drugs. No, we want to encourage them to use them more safely. I mean, if you want to get high and, you know, that's good. Let us help you do it. That's what we want to do here in Philadelphia, Chicago, LA, Seattle, New York. That's what we want to do. We want to help you. And in turn, you can help us. Here's your voter registration card. Have you filled one out yet? Oh, yeah. Okay, so you want to be a Democrat. Right here, circle that. There you go. Now, initial right here. Initial right here. Ah, there you go. You just voted for President Biden. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's watch this next video clip.
New figures show a shocking rise in deaths linked to a street drug, which rots the skin of those who use it. Xylazine, often referred to as Trank or the zombie drug, has spread across America at such alarming speed that the White House has now released a new six-point action plan to
tackle the crisis. The White House.
The drug, an animal tranquilizer, is increasingly mixed or cut by drug dealers into supplies of fentanyl, which itself is already killing over 100,000 Americans every year. According to the most recent data from 20 U.S. states and the District of Columbia, the monthly percentage of fentanyl-associated deaths where xylazine was detected has increased by 276% from 2.9% to 10.9%.
The increase of drugs laced with xylazine has increased by 276% in the past year. That's by mistake? No. This is done on purpose. But you noticed, as the gentleman was saying that's narrating this clip, that the Biden administration is on the case. They're working hard. What are they doing? what are they doing? Are they stopping the production of xylazine? No. Have they limited maybe through FDA or no? What are they doing? They're throwing more money at the cities so that the cities can hire more do-gooders to take care of the people that are hooked on drugs. Perpetuating the problem, making it worse. All this death, all this destruction of the family. Purposeful. It's sad. It really is. But yet it's a reflection of our culture right now. Because we've lost truth. We've lost justice. We've lost real compassion. Compassion is not like, oh, I see you're struggling with drugs. Let me help you get better drugs. You know, that's not compassion. No, compassion is, I see you're struggling with drugs. Let me help you get set free from drugs. No. Can we do anything to restore truth in America? Because I think that ultimately that's what we need to do. Because without truth, I don't think we can prevail in anything as a nation, at least anything good. And I think our nation is on a downward spiral by eliminating truth and justice in America. For instance, how is it that just about all of the national media refuse to call things out when it's obvious and when it's clear? Okay, let's just take, for instance, some of the things we spoke about today. Like the entire premise upon which Trump is being attacked. From, let's say, Letitia James. Okay, based on her case, okay, it was nothing more than a political vendetta against Donald Trump. Yet the fake media refuses to call it out for what it is. Let's look at this video clip and we'll talk about it on the other side.
The president of the United States has complained that I'm engaging in some sort of political witch hunt, that I've got some personal vendetta against
him. Not you.
That I campaigned against him. That is not true.
Of course not. That must be a body double.
He's an illegitimate president.
Oh.
His days are numbered. His days are numbered.
We've got to get ready to mobilize, and we've got to get ready to agitate and irritate until victory is won, but more importantly, until Trump is defeated. needed. Yeah. We'll all rise up and resist this man.
And ultimately, we'll bring him down.
This illegitimate president, I'm going to give you the same level of respect that you gave to President Obama, and that is absolutely no respect at all.
Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey.
Ho, ho. Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
Letitia James has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
That is not true.
She said we need to educate and irritate. You're doing real good at the irritating part. I don't know what you're doing about education. I mean, maybe it's like because maybe she's not yet fully evolved. I mean, you know, they believe in evolution. Maybe Letitia James is one of those few people, you know, that came through the evolution cycle, but maybe her brain has not yet reached full capacity. Maybe it's still in its infancy and not really fully human just yet. What do you think? Anyway, speaking of evolving, there's a huge push now to animate the story of evolution. In fact, maybe she should watch this video. Let's look at it together. Now, this shows a land animal that is evolving. It's four legs. The front ones are getting smaller and smaller, and the back ones are turning more to paddles. And the body's elongating, and oh my God, the land animal is turning into a shark, a whale. Holy cow. The land animal turned into a whale. Whoa, there's proof. You saw it. I saw it. That's proof. I believe in evolution. I don't care what you say. My dog can become a whale someday. There it is. It's just true. So maybe there's hope for Letitia James. I'm not sure. But yet this kind of propaganda is what is permeating our culture right now. And we've got problems, folks. We got problems in Israel and Ukraine. We know that. But here's some other places you may not know about, may not have even heard about because the news in the United States doesn't talk about it. You got to go like BBC or to other places here. Possibility of conflicts like Haiti, Armenia, Azerbaijan, wider Middle East war. We know there's possibility of Sudan, Iran, Myanmar, Ethiopia, the Sahel, and of course, U.S.-China tensions increasing every single day. With all this happening worldwide, why do you think that people are feeling more empowered to cause problems? Why do you think countries are doing what they're doing? Like, it wouldn't shock me if China takes Taiwan before the 24 election. Because if I were President Xi, I would be doing it for sure. Because I know Biden's not going to do a darn thing about it. And that's because the United States is considered to be weak. Biden is considered to be a weak president. He's in no shape for confrontation. All this does is embolden our enemies all around the world. And that's why all the more, I think, if we don't get a strong president, then who else are we going to elect? It's Biden and Trump. Who are we going to elect? I can't imagine Biden, and not that he's actually in, you know, he's like a puppet on strings. Okay, he's the little puppet. The puppet master is still Obama. We know that. But we can't take another 4 years of the Biden-Obama administration. In order to bring peace and tranquility to the world, we need to have President Trump again. Because look, when he was president for 4 years, there was nothing happening anywhere in the world. Nobody dared do a thing. Maybe they thought he was crazy, which, hey, that's a good thing. But they still didn't do anything. Nothing negative happened. We got to face the truth. There's things happening right now in the world that wouldn't be happening if Donald Trump were president. For instance, right now, the doomsday clock. I don't know if you ever heard of it. There it is. That's the doomsday clock. It's set for 90 seconds before world destruction. 90 seconds. And we got there, how? Gradually, over time, beginning with a big jump when Obama became president, and then again once Biden took office in 2021. It's time right now to turn the clock back. Not just the doomsday clock. That's not all I'm talking about turning back. But I'm talking about turning back our cultural clocks, turning back our financial clocks, get to the place where we can go to the grocery store and not spend $50 for a small bag of groceries in order to be able to feed our families. But yet, the Biden administration, they are running forward and they're running quickly. In fact, they're trying to do some crazy things. Now, I don't know about you and digital currency, what you believe, what you don't. Me, I like crypto. I kind of believe that's going to be a wave of the future. But as far as the United States actually issuing its own currency, that frightens me a bit. And it's called CBDCs, okay? Central bank digital currencies. And central bank digital currency is a way for the government to take complete control over our lives. Here's a final video for us to look at today.
Do you believe the U.S. government should directly issue a digital currency to citizens?
I'm against central bank digital currencies. I think they will become an instrument of power and control, and ultimately they'll be used as an excuse to abolish cash currencies. What they're doing in China, if you don't meet a certain social credit score, you know, you show up on a mask day when you're not wearing your mask properly, right. Whatever
not
your offense is,
or whatever, yeah,
or not boosted. The government can turn off your capacity to spend money, or they can program it so that your credit cards will only work, for example, at grocery stores within a half mile radius of your home.
Right.
But they won't buy you gasoline. They won't allow you to get an airplane ticket. They won't allow you to travel and buy items and foods in other parts of the country or abroad. And if government has those kind of powers over us, we're all in a lot of deep trouble.
That kind of power, because we know our government will use it. Unfortunately, they will. China is using it. And what scares me is that Americans are not really aware that this is actually going on in China. They have what's called a social credit score. Okay, people. And if your social credit score drops too far, the government limits your ability to be able to buy, sell, travel, to do anything. Your social credit score actually controls your life. Could that happen in the United States? You better believe it can happen. It can happen so swift we wouldn't even know what hit us. And I fear, because most of our Congress and Senate, they seem to be kind of like, well, whatever, you know, whatever. No, it's not whatever. This could be a very dangerous time for America. So let's take back control. 2024 is right around the corner. Hey, thanks for watching today. My name is Mike Kahlo for Exposed, the Kahlo Podcast. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.